You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
So what just happened? Barack Obama is president-elect, but what just happened? With me is Marcus Mabry, international business editor for the New York Times. Adora Udoji is down in Atlanta at WCLK. Frank Newport is also joining us now. He's editor-in-chief of the Gallup poll. All people eminently able to at least take a stab at the answer to what just happened. But here's another one.
This is Troy calling from North Dakota, and what this election establishes to me is the end of the race card as a legitimate excuse. I know some minority members might hate on a white man like me for saying this, but anyone can be anything they want to be in America. Limitations are only self-imposed. And Barack, I love you for proving that.
Our friend Troy from North Dakota, of course, where self-reliance is more than just a slogan. Katie in Brooklyn emails us, it's hard to deny the excitement of this moment. I'm trying to embrace some of the hope and optimism, but in this day and age, it's hard. I'm still waiting to be beckoned out from my hiding place like a munchkin in The Wizard of Oz. Is it really safe yet? We want to hear your response to what happened yesterday, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. So as a pollster, Frank Newport, editor-in-chief of Gallup, how do you deconstruct what happened yesterday, looking at all the numbers you must have in front of you at this point?
Well, it was interesting to hear the caller just then, where is it, from North Dakota, about the, you know, race is no longer an issue. That may certainly be the case. A black man has been elected president of the U.S., but if you do look at the data, you certainly see that race is a big factor in this election. You know, based on the latest estimates, white Americans went for John McCain over the black candidate by about 12 points, a pretty significant margin. Obama just won overwhelming margins, as we had seen all year in our pre-election polls. And it's not uncommon for, you know, John Kerry and Al Gore before him, by huge majorities of black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, in fact, any other ethnic or racial group we can come up with other than whites, went strongly for the Democratic candidate Barack Obama. So he was elected, but that doesn't mean that there are not still significant divisions by race in this country.
It seems also that he also, among white voters, didn't he win, don't we believe right now, more white votes, in fact, though, and that's also, I think, an important point here, than Kerry or Gore did, which means that this is not, there is certainly a white support here that's as important, perhaps, as that historic level of African-American support, right?
Well, to some degree, slightly. He, based on the exit poll estimates, which is what we're dealing with right now, mm-hmm. Kerry won by 15 points among white voters. But it looks like in 08, we have Barack Obama winning by 12 points among white voters. So it doesn't look like, at least based on the preliminary data, that Obama widened the gap among white voters.
Frank, we were bombarded by poll after poll and the polls of polls and the aggregates of polls and my poll is the best poll and we've got the best poll. How do we now?
Let's all go to the North Pole. Let's fill up
right. I mean,
a nice T-shirt that had every use of the word poll in America on it. It was very funny, you know, in different ways. But yes, we had many, many polls.
Do you think
this year
that there is going to be a reckoning in looking back at what some of those polls look like? What those statistical models look like, and are they going to be reconfigured as we move forward? Because at a certain point, you enter the theater of the absurd when you've got all of these polls that are varying from 2 points to 20 points. That's nuts.
Well, I think that, in fact, I was just emailing with some of my colleagues this morning. As a whole, in this final election, the polls were remarkably accurate. Inconsistent. If you look state by state at what the final results look like they're going to be, and then look at what the average of polling was showing for each of these states, it was remarkably prescient in terms of what actually happened. And at the national level, our Gallup poll actually showed Obama doing somewhat better than he ended up doing, and as did some others. But, you know, there were other polls that showed a little less, but the average, actually, of polls came in about exactly where the popular vote looks like it will end up. I think there may be too many polls in some people's eyes. I don't think so. I think it's great to have
well, of course you would. Of course you would think that.
But in general, you know, unlike New Hampshire, where polls blew it back earlier this year in the primary, these polls, I think, for this election, election, were remarkably on target.
Well, New Hampshire's not a state. It's a focus group, Frank. You have to remember
that's
that.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the turnout. Does the turnout change the science in any way? I was talking to somebody yesterday who was describing how statistical models were being put together to try to track what new voters and new residents of states like Virginia and Indiana were going to do. And they sort of vaguely predicted that Virginia and Indiana would behave exactly the same if the statistical models proved out. What does turnout do to change the science of polling, do you think, after this election?
Well, it doesn't change anything in the science of polling after the election because we took it into account going into the election. You know, based on our internal indicators, we had estimates of turnout, as did other pollsters, and that's kind of part of what you put in as your part of your factor. And polls that are done well take into account first-time voters and people that move in. So I don't think we're going to see much radical change in the way polls are done after this presidential election than the way they were done before it because, as just mentioned, generally speaking, they gave a pretty good portrait of what actually happened.
Are we ever going to talk about the Bradley effect again? I hope not.
Well, you know, as we've so many people, I've been asked that 100 times this season. There are some elections with the black candidate where he does better in the polls and some that he does worse, kind of on a random basis. I think we could say the same thing for, you know, candidates with red hair on a random basis. And there is no systematic evidence of the Bradley effect working. And again, this time, if you look at generally where the polls were, we don't have systematic evidence that he consistently across the board, state after state, underperformed where the polls were. He seemed to be fairly right on. So I don't think the Bradley effect has been further supported by this election than it was before. But we're still looking at the numbers.
Marcus, I don't know if you tracked this in the newsroom at the New York Times, but there was a lot of talk that there was, in some states, a kind of reverse Willie Horton effect in the media buy that the McCain campaign made on the Reverend Wright ads that ran really over the weekend and heavily on Monday, that it encouraged African-American turnout. Frank, have you seen anything like that? And Marcus, have you seen anything like that?
Well, we looked at it, but, you know, from the final numbers here, it doesn't seem like, you know, for instance, there was a greater gap, say, in Obama's victory in Pennsylvania, where you saw lots of those ads than was expected from Gallup and other polls from before those started to run.
Frank, what about you?
Well, it's very difficult to tease out the impact of any one ad. People are looking at Elizabeth Dole's defeat in North Carolina and saying, well, it's because she ran those negative ads on her opponent about having gone to a godless group fundraiser. But you don't know. There are a lot of other factors involved there. So empirically speaking, it's very difficult to say, yes, these ads had a reverse impact and actually made Obama do better than they might have had the ads not been run. It's kind of like medical science. You've got to run controlled experiments where half the people got the ad and half didn't. And unfortunately, in a real world, we can't do those kind of experiments.
And, of course, now we've got the Stevens effect up in Alaska where people won't talk about voting for a felon to pollsters, but then go ahead and do it anyway. Frank Newport, editor-in-chief of the Gallup Poll, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
He was in Princeton, New Jersey. Marcus Mabry of the New York Times is with us, and the Stevens effect refers to the fact that apparently Ted Stevens, a convicted felon, may be winning that Senate race in Alaska. More on The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.